Today, we are talking with Dr. Sherry Jo Watkins, or as her friends on the Subscription Maker podcast call her, Sherry Jo. Sherry Jo is a performance coach, speaker, author, and engagement expert. She helps people get out of the holes they find themselves in and into the lives they always wanted. Hey, I'm Zachary Alexander, the host of the Subscription Maker podcast. Welcome to today's conversation. Don't forget to subscribe and check out some of the past episodes wherever you get your podcasts. We are talking with Sherry Jo because it's easy to find yourself in a place not of your choosing, given the uncertainty of the last couple of years. So we're talking with an expert about how we can today climb out of that deep dark hole and power our subscription businesses up the SSB income ladder. Sherry Jo, welcome to the Subscription Maker podcast.
Thank you so much, Zachary. It is an absolute joy to be here with you today.
What does it mean to you to be a performance coach?
Oh, gosh. So, you know what? Everybody has their own definition, right? And for me, I think that the most powerful piece is to be able to meet people exactly where they are, right? Uncover those limiting beliefs, uncover the things that are keeping them stuck, and then moving forward from there.
What are some of the things your clients find that cause them to get into those deep dark holes?
Oh my God. So that is actually something that I find so fascinating, because everybody has a different story, right? And sometimes we don't even realize what it is that is causing that hang up until you're willing to open up and dive in deep, right? I talk to a lot of people about, going back in time through their childhood, right? And people talk about, we're going to heal that inner child, when in reality, there are inner children, right? There are things that happened to us that we learned how to do effectively as infants, and then as toddlers, and then as teenagers. And we carry those things into our adult lives and into our professions and, all over the place. And we don't realize that those are the things that are impacting how we move forward or get stuck today.
Would you give us some tips on how we can get out of the hole?
Oh, well, of course, the number one thing that I would say is give me a call, I can help, right? And ultimately, when you have to be able to, number one, be willing to be accountable to yourself, okay? And number two, you have to recognize that your brain will lie to you if you let it, okay? Our brains don't actually know the difference between reality, thought, and memories, right? And like, for example, if you think about being at a circus or a carnival long enough, you will smell cotton candy, right? And so our brains they believe the things that we tell it, right? So sometimes we have to stop and say, you know what? This is not real. This is not, I don't have to believe these things that my brain is telling me, right? And be willing to say, okay, is this mine? Do I need to own it? Or is it something that I can unpack now and get rid of?
What kind of time frame should we be looking at if we're looking to make this journey?
Oh, gosh. So I think it's going to depend on the individual. And of course, it depends on action, right? So, I can work with somebody very quickly if they're going to hit it hard, right? And then there's other people that it takes a little bit more time. But, it all kind of revolves around mindset. But mindset means nothing without action, okay? So, you can think your way into happy for about 25 seconds, but then if you don't take action into it and really say, okay, these are the steps that I'm going to do, and then constantly do them, right? It's not really a one and done, especially if you have deep-seated things that you have to, really either let go of, give to God, however it is that it works for you, right? And letting go of these things. I mean, there's things now that sometimes I still have to say, nah, no, brain, you don't get to lie to me today. Nope, I don't receive that, So, I mean, it can be short, it can be long, and I know that's kind of ambiguous. Of course there are, as a coach, I do have signature programs that last a specific amount of time, But ultimately, you know, your journey is your journey, and it can take longer, it can be shorter, depending on where you are and what you're looking for, because not everybody's the same, right? Just because there's a signature program doesn't mean that's the only thing. Like, you know, cookie cutters aren't for everybody.
So how do you get people to make the small changes to get the ball rolling?
Okay, so the small changes are actually big changes, right? And people don't even realize that those smallest pieces are sometimes the biggest things, right? You know, and I make it very clear with people right from the get-go, right? I'm not very good at sugarcoating, right? So, you know, and I know that I'm not for everybody, okay? So, you know, when I set out and I to work with somebody and they've agreed to work with me, we have an agreement right from the get-go that I'm going to say, okay, listen, do you want me to tell you the truth, or do you want me to soften it for you? Because if you want me to tell you the truth, sometimes you're not going to want to hear it, right? But I'm going to call you out on your own crap. I needed somebody to call me out on my own crap, right? And, you know, and oftentimes it's a reminder of, you know, let's celebrate that win, but now let's talk about what's next, right? So small things, right? Making sure that your mind is right. Finding out how you need to start your day. Finding out and learning how you can reset yourself throughout the day, right? And be able to say, okay, ask simple questions, right? Is this mine? Do I have any control over it? Or do I just need to let it go? So there's a ton of ways.
Sherry Jo, would you talk about what it means to be a doctor of divinity?
Sure. So for me, right, I am, this is a little bit of backstory here, right? I am that individual that spent a lot of years of her life believing that there was something severely wrong with her, right? I thought there was something really, really wrong with me because I couldn't be like other people, right? I literally could not be, I could not fit the mold. And so I spent a lot of time as a child in trouble, right? Not because I was bad, but because I couldn't fit in the mold, right? And so, you know, I became that sit down, shut up, be quiet, you're grounded kind of girl, right? And I learned very early that it was not okay to be amazingly different, right? That you had to, you didn't want to blow the curve, you know, you didn't want to be different, you didn't want to be outspoken, you know, just be like normal SpongeBob, right? And you know, who didn't exist then, but it's a great analogy. So you know, so it took me a very long time to realize that the things that made me different were not actually character defects, right? They were things that God placed inside me to make me amazing so that I could help people, right? They were things that I had to go through in order to be willing to accept the journey that I was given and recognize that I did have a purpose and that I was made on purpose for a purpose, right? And for me, it really was a journey. Like my dad, I was daddy's girl. My dad died when I was 14 and a half. And I always felt like my mom and my brother were against me, like it was them against me, right? And you know, and I was very jealous of my mom for a long time because I was like, people would always say, "How's your mom? How's your mom? How's your mom?" And I'm like, "Wait, she had him for 25 years. What about me?" Right? And so unfortunately, he was sick for about a year and a half. And on one day, my mom did not come home for dinner. Right? When we have family dinner every day, and that was just what you did. You met, you had dinner, you were together. And at that point, when my mom did come home, like my dad had been in the hospital for like the last 6 to 8 weeks before he passed. And I was like, "Hey, where have you been? You missed dinner." And she said, I had to go buy some dresses. And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean you're going to go buy some dresses? Because we have $500,000 in like medical bills. You can't buy new dresses, right?" And, you know, I'm a 14-year-old girl. And she sat me down and said, "You know, Sherry Jo, there comes a point in time where we have to stop asking God for daddy to get better." Because my dad had brain tumors, a lot of them, right? And, you know, because even if those tumors were healed, he would never be the same again, right? And I swore that night, I swore, like I broke things. I broke the coffee table, I threw things. I swore I would never, ever, ever ask anyone to take my dad from me. But for some reason, that's exactly what I did that night when I went to bed. And my dad died at 4 o'clock in the morning that night. And I thought it was my fault, right? I thought it was my fault. And I was certain that God hated me, right? For 11 years, I carried that around. For 11 years, right? And so that compounded with the fact that I never really felt like I fit in. You know, that was huge, right? So, you know, I did a lot of the things that, you know, people do. I rebelled, I, you know, did drugs, I drank, you know, I ran around, I did all those kinds of things. And I was dating this guy and he ended up going to jail, right? Because he was defending his sister. And when he came out, one of the conditions was for him that he had to go to AA meeting, right? Well, you know, I never really had, so sorry guys, if you're listening to this, but I never really had a challenge with take it or leave it. But when I walked into that meeting with him on that first day, those people accepted me immediately without judgment, without regard. And I was like, wow, I feel like I belong, right? And so I ended up sticking around for like 3 years. I learned how to believe in something more powerful than myself. I had a wind up rhinoceros, right? That it was my higher power for a little while. And I still actually have a rhino right here. I know nobody can see it, but you can. That always reminds me because, you know, there had to be something more powerful than me, right? And at that point in my life, it was like, okay, you can poke me, you can prod me, you can knock me down, but you better run when I get up because I'm gonna come after you, right? And that's how I felt, you know? And then as I began to, I really went through the steps. I got a sponsor, I did all the things. And by the time I had reached a point through those steps and, you know, on that last step, you know, it says having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, okay? My spiritual awakening was that there was more, right? That there was more. And I decided at that point that I needed a relationship with Jesus, you know? And so I ended up, I was driving down the road one day and there, I heard all this music. It was on a Sunday evening. I heard all this music and I was like, they're jamming. And so I stopped and I went in and, you know, and then the next Sunday I went back. And a couple of weeks later, you know, I talked to the pastor and I said, I need to know Jesus. And he said, okay, I want you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts 3 times in 30 days and come back and talk to me. So I did, right? I did. And, you know, and I knew that there was a purpose. And as I read and as I continued to get deeply involved, I saw the meshing of everything that I knew to be true about why I was smart, about why I was brilliant, about why I was, you know, outspoken, about why I was, you know, somebody that could communicate with people at all levels. And I decided to go to Bible college. And, you know, I already had had a degree and a half at that point, but this was like every Saturday for 4 years. And I did everything right up until the point of getting ordained. And I never did because I wasn't trying to like run a church. I just wanted that relationship. So when I actually finished and took those last couple of courses and took my tests and all that kind of stuff and got ordained, that was during COVID because I decided at one point in time that I'm just going to finish everything I started, you know, everything that I never finished, I'm just going to finish it. And so that's how that, you know, that degree actually came about. The knowledge was there, the relationship was there, but I always knew that it was something that that I had to eventually finish just because you don't go, you know, I mean, I'm that person that tells people don't go part way and not finish, right? So I was holding myself accountable to my own standards. And it was a great time for me to, you know, to be remembering of what I was put here for, right? Like one of my signature programs is called Escape the Hamster Wheel, right? And Escaping the Hamster Wheel is actually a program designed for Christian women that think that they have to be everything for everyone. And it's a totally different spin on the 12-step program, right? How to, you know, how to pull your weeds, how to, you know, eliminate the things that are causing the noise and chaos. And so, yeah, that's like a long way to tell you, but that's how it happened, right? It was a journey. Everything is a journey. If you're willing to go down the path.
Okay. So I want to go a little deeper on that.
Okay.
So does the Doctor of Divinity influence your performance coaching? And if so, how?
So, I mean, I would like to say, no. Okay. And the reason no is because I am who I am, right? And I'm very bold about telling people right from the get-go that, you know, I am a Christian. I believe the word of God. I believe it's all true. I believe all the promises are for me. And I believe that if it's not, we're all screwed, right? That being said, pretty much everything that, you know, all the life lessons, right? If you know the Bible and you look at, you know, the book that's, you know, Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, there are similarities. There are lessons. If you look at the principles of business, there are similarities, right? I simply, you know, I love the fact that it's all intertwined for me, because I believe that the reason that I was given the skills and the ability to share knowledge the way that I can is a direct reflection of my willingness to also share joy and light that doesn't come from me.
I guess the reason I brought that up is I personally like the thought of pastors being entrepreneurs and modeling ethical business behavior for young people.
Yes. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm exactly the same way. I'm just not a pastor. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm just not a pastor. I could go pastor if I wanted, but, you know, I'm not interested in, you know, in doing a church, because I don't want. It, you know, I don't know. I believe that my calling is a little bit more broad than that. You know, if somebody said, hey, Sherry Jo, we need you to come do this. Sure. You know what I mean? Or, hey, we want you to come teach on this topic. Yeah. We want you to come speak to our congregation. Absolutely. But, you know, there's a bigger piece than that. Like I'll give you an example. There's a girl that I had been working with for about 6 months. And, you know, she knew who I was, what I believe the entire time. And, you know, and it wasn't until she reached a point of sorting out the things that she had to go through that we unpacked it all, put it on the shelf where it belonged, burned some of it, you know, and then she finally said, okay, I need to know more now. Right. And so now we were able to take, you know, what she was trying to do with her business and, you know, and apply those biblical principles to help her do the right things for the right reasons all the time, which is my daily mantra, you know?
Okay. So now let's talk about your business, EPC 360. Yeah. Tell us about it.
So EPC 360 is actually like the tech division of Elite Pro Coaching. Okay. When, you know, again, I am this person that, you know, I have this desire, this unquenchable desire for knowledge, but, you know, that girl that was always told, shh, stop talking, you're grounded, right? I always also have the desire to share knowledge. I don't believe that we're given gifts and knowledge for any other reason than to share it, right? You can only fill up your cup so much. If you don't pour it out, there's no more room, right? So I always knew that I was destined to help people impact their own lives, right? And being that individual and going on that journey that I went through, I had a propensity to go from this job to that job to this job, you know, until I found what really fit for me, right? Ultimately on that journey though, every time there was a class available, something to take, I took it, right? Every time there was a, you know, hey, there's the thing where I can get better. Can I take this? Right. And I would go. And when I got there and I did certain things, you know, I was also like, okay, well, that was boring. I could have done that better. So I would take that knowledge and I would build a new class. Right. And then I would teach it and I would share it. So when I stepped out of health, I ended up my career in healthcare administration for like 15 years. And when I stepped out of that role, it was because I could no longer make the impact that I knew I was supposed to make in helping people, you know, business owners, like, preserve their own legacy. Like, we're always done it this way. Okay, that's fine. But we don't live there anymore. And your legacy is going to die with you if we don't learn how to bridge that gap and change the way that you think and, you know, create and treat leaders in a different way and raise that up. You know, so like, I like to believe I'm the Richard Gere of girlhood. I just keep getting better, but I'm still cool, you know? So I have that capacity to reach both ends. So when I started Elite Pro Coaching, I had this repertoire of like 200 individual courses that I could teach and, you know, different programs that I could do. But it was very quickly discovered that in order to really make the impact on a lot of these small to mid-sized businesses that I was working with at the time, they also needed to find a way to integrate technology differently, right? So it was kind of a natural transition to make, you know, to have that technology division. So EPC is Elite Pro Coaching 360, right? Meaning bringing your training and your team full circle, right? Because like when that first started, you had a whole bunch of business owners that were like fighting like crazy to keep phones out of people's hands, right? And I'm like, okay, so they're never going to go away and you're really not going to do that. And you can't take their phones from them. That's not school, right? So, you know, so instead of doing that, let's find a way that we can integrate technology that works for you that also works for them. And it was when I had my first app built for me that I was like, wait a minute, I can do this. I can get on that platform and I can build apps and I can help people, you know, do those other things as well. And that's kind of how that whole tech division came about.
Sherry Jo, I noticed that you have a login on your company's homepage.
I do.
Do you have a subscription service?
I do. There's a couple of them actually. All right. So the first piece of it is for ongoing, like ongoing training. Okay. One of the subscriptions are, you know, it's really inexpensive because once somebody gets to know me and they, you know, and they work with me and they realize, you know, the potential of what is really available, there's so much more, but, you know, budgets are budgets, right? So I decided to go ahead and have a subscription-based service for education. Whereas, you know, it's like $300 a month and, you know, you can have any of these courses available for you or your team at any point in time. Okay. And then, in another one is actually a loyalty program subscription where, you know, so many companies, especially small businesses, they, you know, they need loyalty programs. Like we live in a what's in it for me society. Right. And so everybody wants to get something. So, you know, I actually built an app called Loyalty Lovers Rewards, and that's an app that we're literally now just really starting to, push out to market and in different areas. Whereas, you know, it'll show you any loyalty program that is around you, right? And instead of them having to pay a whole bunch of money to get started and then a whole bunch of money to manage it and a whole bunch of time and effort to monitor it, it's kind of all done on the back end for them. And so like people, like the businesses have a QR code and they scan that to punch the card, right? And so that's a subscription service as well. There's probably going to be a few more, but right now those are the two primary ones that we focus on.
In the tech business, something like Loyalty Lovers is what's called a branded community.
Correct.
What kind of challenges do you see ahead for those kinds of companies or those kinds of services?
Well, I mean, you always have to stay on top of things, right? Always, because technology changes, you know, the ease of use changes, you know, and as businesses grow, they might, you know, they might graduate from that and need something bigger, you know, on their own. But a lot of times it's a matter of recognizing where the benefit is for me now. And then as an organization, I have to continually look at how can I make this better, right? How can we provide a better service? How can we make it easier for them? You know, and there's always a risk involved, right? There's always a risk involved, but you got to start somewhere, right? And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, Les Brown is one of my favorite people, you know, from motivational speakers. And, you know, he always said, you know, you don't have to be great to start, but you just got to start to be great. you know, and that's it, right? You got to start somewhere. So there are so many businesses out there that you know, say, well, I don't have the extra $6,000 to get a program going. Well, you don't need to with this, right? And then consequently, you know, if I'm John and I'm out in the community and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go to this one because I know it's there. And then I see all the things that are around you, right? Well, now I have another means of marketing and advertising. And now we have somebody else, you know, that has that capacity to share. Because unfortunately, you know, again, you know, when you're looking at who are you helping, right? Like I coach pretty much anybody that needs it. It's not that it's only going to be, you know, executives, it'll be wherever you are. But I have this super affinity for those businesses that have this great dream and, you know, and they want to grow it, but they're so busy running it that they can't do all those other things, right? And I think it's funny when I'm building apps for people because Apple always comes back and says, you know, it looks like this was built with a third party programming, you know? And so we always have to write the same letter that says, well, yes, you know, I'm a basketball coach, not an app maker. I hired somebody to help me, you know, or I'm a restaurant owner, not an app maker. I hired somebody to help me. And, you know, because people don't realize that just because you're not an expert at it doesn't mean you can't have it.
Now, do you advocate for your, there's this concept of product discovery and continuous product discovery, where you actually use your branded community to discover new opportunities for your company. Do you advocate that also?
Give me a little more detail on how you're asking that. Because I think the answer is yes, but I want to make sure that I'm actually answering what you asked me.
Right. So you talked about the fact that people need to stay on top of things. Mm-hmm. Where there's also this what we're now starting to call opportunity space. Like there's all these opportunities out there. And then based on where your community is and the people who actually buy from you, some opportunities are better than others.
Yes.
And that you have to constantly monitor that to progress and to basically develop and build out new opportunities, because with subscriptions, you can't stand still.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, and even subscriptions or really anything in your business, you can't stand still, right? I mean, there's, you know, that old adage saying, if you always do what you always did, you're always going to get what you always got. And that equals stagnation and death eventually, right? So you have to be able to continuously be looking for how can I grow this? How can I do this differently? What are the people around me doing? And how can I do it just a little bit better, right? Or just a little bit different. And giving people what they actually want, right? And if you can't give them what they want, then ask them what else you could possibly do. So it's a matter, I think, of being truly engaged with your consumers and, you know, with the people that are buying your services. So like one of the things that we made available in Loyalty Lovers is, you know, you can do everything from, you know, your own loyalty programs to from the consumer end, you know, what do you want to see, right? There's a form in there. If you know, I'm going to, you know, Joe's Smokehouse because I love their ribs, but they're not in here. We'll recommend them, right? Or give them a review, you know, and we'll reach out to them. But then on the flip side of it, you know, when I'm going out and talking to people, I'm saying, okay, well, here's what's around you, right? And here's what they're doing. How can we help you get to that level and beyond, right? And oftentimes, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges, especially that small businesses have, is that they don't recognize the value of marketing, okay? All too often, when people say all times are tough, the first thing that they cut is there are those marketing dollars, right? And that's actually the last thing that we should be doing. Like what we should be doing is looking at your processes, right? Looking at, you know, wasted time and, you know, and how can we, you know, how can we, you know, improve the way that we're doing things so that we can do these other things. So instead of like looking at, you know, this is the budget and this is all that we can do because that's what's in the budget. I always tell people, let's take that budget and let's do it backwards. Okay. Let's start at the end result of what you want it to be at the end of the year or at the end of 6 months or at the end of the time, and let's build backwards. Okay. Because by building backwards and putting those mile markers, then we determine and discover exactly what needs to be done in order to get there. Right. And then that will create your budget in reverse. Right. I mean, it's like, I mean, when you have, when they wanted to, you know, to copy the special sauce from a Big Mac, right? They reverse engineered it, right? When you reverse engineer your business and you say, okay, this is the end result of where I want to be, okay? Let's throw out everything that we know already. And by knowing where we want to be, we can create the steps effectively to get there. And then you have to include your team, right? And then you have to include your team because you have so many brilliant people around you all the time, right? And like when I was in healthcare, I was in healthcare administration for a long time. You know, there were so many people, they would say to me, they would be like nurse's aides, right? Somebody would say, well, I'm just an aide. And I'm like, dude, you're not just anything, okay? Because no matter what you're doing, right? You can do that better than somebody else, like a pilot. Can't operate a whole year lift, right? I work in dietary. Okay, well, you know, dare me to cook meals effectively for 400 people, please. You know, I can't. Okay, it would be so bad. Everybody would starve eventually. When you find a way, and you ask your team how they can make an impact on growing the business. Here's the end result of where we want to get to. How do you think you can make an impact to make us do that? As opposed to, this is what we're going to do now, right? And this is how you're going to talk. This is how we're going to roll it out. And of course, there has to be those standards, to some degree. But you know, we teach people not to think by not giving them the ability and the freedom to be brilliant. You know.
So Sherry Jo, you've written a couple books, Time Hack and Quit Whining and Do Something Different. Mm-hmm. In an era of TikTok and Twitter, what do you think about writing books today?
I'd still love it. I still love it, you know, because, you know, as you were talking about technology and how it changes, okay, some of those platforms, the things that you created in those areas, you know, unless you have them on your phone and you saved all the videos, right? And you have another way to send them out to people, those things might fade away, okay? Unless you burn a book, it's gonna be there, right? And like, I don't care, like people don't throw books away, or some people might, I don't think that is. But you know, like I'll move from here to here, like we go from here to here. And you know, when we put those books in a box and we unpack them, we put them on our shelf and they're always there, right? They're always there, right? I'm 53 years old. Like my first social media was MySpace, right? My son doesn't know what that is. You know what I mean? So, I think that those things, I think that it, as technology evolves, that'll continue to build and continue to build and we'll come full circle. But you know, when I originally wrote the first book, I made a lot of mistakes and I don't even own the rights to it. And that's, so then I quickly put out Quit Whining and Do Something Different. And then when you see it, you'll see that it's a different size than most books, right? And the reason it's a different size is because people stack things. So I wanted mine to be on top, right? So I wanted it to be a smaller size so that it was on top. But it was also a business card, right? Like I don't do business cards. I love technology. I have QR codes on my phone. That that are the virtual cards, right? But when I walk in somewhere and I'm having a conversation with them, it's just as easy for me to hand them my book as it ever was to hand them a business card.
As we start to wrap up, Sherry Jo, is there something you wish more people would ask you?
Wow. That's a loaded question right there. so I wish people, is there something that I wish more people would ask me? I wish more people would ask me about the hard stuff. You know, the hard stuff. So often, you know, what we see on social media, right, is everybody looking awesome and beautiful and perfect all the time. We see all the wins. And then when we hear about the struggles, it's like some magnificent, you know, kind of thing, right? And so, you know, I always say that, you know, when I decided that I was going to step out on my own and I knew I was destined to be a speaker and impact millions of lives, right? I had a challenge because I'm this little blonde haired, blue eyed girl from Nowhereville, right? I'm not related to anybody famous. I was never a pro athlete. I was never abducted. I have all my fingers and toes. And, you know, and there is nothing apparently on the surface, right, that would propel me to the, hey, look what she overcame stage, right? But the tragedy that I represent in individuals is, it almost happened to me. Like if I hadn't have, like had that wake up call and chose to run after it as fast and hard as I could, no matter what anybody told me, right? You know, it almost happened to me too. It's a tragedy of an entire world of people becoming average accidentally on purpose. Like we don't even know it's happening, right? You know, and they used to call it the dumbing down of society, and now that's not proper words, right? But you know, people become average because they don't even know how to step into their own greatness or even to discover what that might be, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of times people think, well, I have to have just this itty bitty little niche that I can be the best in. You know, not everybody's made that way, right? I'm amazing at a lot of things, right? I just don't talk about all of them all the time, right? I'm going to find out what it is that you need, right? What it is that, how that we can relate and then help you get to that next level, right? And that means breaking down barriers. It means changing the way that we think. It means being willing to be like, okay, I am amazing, right? Like I'll never forget when I first opened my business, my husband, he's amazing, by the way. But you know, we think very differently, right? And I called up the editor of my newspaper after about 6 months, and I'm like, dude, you never did a new business article on me. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. We'll have to get together and do an interview. And I said, I already wrote it. I'll send it to you. Right. So I did. And then it got printed. And when it came out, I read it to my husband. He's like, that's a great article. How did you get them to write all that stuff? And I'm like, I wrote it. And he said, don't you think you're acting a little bit bigger than you are? And I said, oh baby, you don't get big by acting small. Right. You don't get big by acting small. And he got it. He's like, you're right. And people have to be willing to talk about the hard stuff, right? Not every limiting belief is meant to be bad, right? Like I remember my mom saying to me, don't you think you're a little bit old now to be chasing after all those new things, Sherry Jo? Well, no, actually I'm not. Cause you know, when I was 22, I thought I knew everything. When I was 32, I was busy learning more. When I was 42, I was just coming to my own. And now, bam, here I am. It's go time, right? But too many people think it's too late. They don't think they can do it. So I wish people would ask me about the hard stuff and what you have to overcome and how they can too.
So Sherry Jo, you've talked about, loyalty lovers.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you've got coming down the pipe you feel comfortable talking about?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there always is. Because you know, here's the thing, like I always say, like, you know, be ready for the journey, like just be there, be on the journey. So sometimes you don't really know what's next if you don't, you know, make yourself available and willing, you know, for it, you know, willing to be able to see it. Like a horse runs straight down the track because that's all they can see. But when they take off those blinders, they're probably gonna chase that bunny, you know? So there are things for me, you know, I'm constantly always working on new programs, right? I do coaching for several different companies on a regular basis. I have, you know, of course my own things. This past summer, I had the privilege of being part of a reality type show where I met a bunch of amazing people from all around the world. And that was, you know, it was not something that ended up turning out the way that I thought it was going to do, but I met some freaking amazing people. And it reignited my belief that anything is possible, right? So, you know, so right now I'm working with a couple of other people on, you know, putting together the basis to be able to take business pitches, right? And into underprivileged, underserved areas and help people be able to take their ideas and make it real, right? And so it's going to be called RV Pitch Party because we're going to take us, you know, decked out RV into different areas, get the, you know, get different communities involved. There are so many people that they don't know or they can't get to an area where, like in Green Bay, Wisconsin, they have that massive think tank, you know, or in Pittsburgh that, you know, where they are constantly having different things. And there's nobody to really teach them that anything is possible. So the goal is to team up coaches that have done specific things, particularly those coaches that are individuals that, you know, have programs, to team them up with, you know, with people that are, that have an idea they want to pitch, and then help them in about 30 to 45 days turn that into a reality. And with any luck, we're going to make a TV show out of it. So Discovery Channel, if you're, or Travel Channel, if you're listening, talk to me.
What's the best way to follow you on social media?
Oh, everything Sherry Jo Watkins. So if you search Sherry Jo Watkins anywhere, you know, you're going to find me, right? And that's SHARIJOWATKINS.
Yeah, I'm going to put the, I'm going to put a link in the show notes.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So if you just think about lamb chop, right, then you'll remember how to spell my name. I was, the spelling came from Sherry Lewis.
Okie doke. Sherry Jo.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us on the Subscription Maker Podcast.
You are super welcome. This is so fun. I love meeting new people, and you know, hopefully you and I are going to be like new best buds now. You know, anything that I can do to help you, if there's any, you know, if you shoot me a list of people that are, you know, of things, that topics that you'd like to have, if I know somebody, I'll send them your way. You know, it's always such a great opportunity and a privilege to be able to help other people step into their greatness, because we all have amazing inside of us.
This is your host, Zachary Alexander. Please join us next time as we talk about what it takes to run a small subscription business successfully.